Let's turn in our Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 21. And as we suggested this morning, verse 10 is the text. Last time we looked at the question, who is this? And here is the same question in a different context. It says in Matthew 21 verse 10, when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? With our Bibles open before us, let's just unite in a word of prayer. Our gracious God, we thank thee for the opportunity of coming to thee. We thank thee for the one who was born in Bethlehem's stable. We bless thee for the one who came to be our Redeemer. And we thank thee for his great incarnation. We thank thee for the fact that he was called Jesus because he would save his people from their sin. Gracious God, we pray that as we consider our Savior again tonight, that he might be revealed, that thou wouldst be revealed in all thy risen power and glory and splendor. For it's in Jesus' precious name I would ask these things. Amen. Amen. The scene before us here in this passage of Scripture is one of splendor and grandeur. The Lord Jesus had entered into Jerusalem on the colt of an ass in the fulfillment of the prophecy in Zechariah 9 and 9, which says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. And he was greeted with acclamation by the crowds. And there were those that laid their garments before him, those that cut down palm branches and strawed them in the way. And it is interesting that they used the palm branches because many ancient coins show the palm branch as the symbol of Judah. And so they were in effect crying, here is the King of the Jews. And they were greeting him as the King of the Jews. Not only did they greet him as king, but they greeted him as savior. They cried, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And the word Hosanna is an interesting word. It means save now. So they were crying out, save now. We beseech thee. They were crying for salvation. Now, of course, in that day, Hosanna, it was a Syriac word. It was used by the Jews in their celebrations. They would use it much the same way as they would shout out hallelujah. So in many ways, it was a word that had lost some of its meaning. But I've no doubt that in that crowd, there were those that were crying out as they saw the king entering. And they were crying for salvation. They were crying for deliverance for the Lord Jesus as he entered into Jerusalem. But the one I want you to focus upon this evening is what many were saying in the city. We've already given you the text. If you look at verse 10, it says, and when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? And as we said a few weeks ago, we looked at the text, the who is this? And we thought of those that asked the question in the house of Simon the leper. And you remember the story of how the woman came in and washed the feet of the Lord Jesus with her hair. And the Lord forgave her, and the people asked, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And when we thought of that, we began to contemplate, those parts of Scripture where that question is asked. And here's another instance of this mighty question. Who is this? As the question is asked in many places in the Scripture, we think of Psalm 24. Who is this King of Glory? Or we think of Isaiah 63. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? So this is an important question, and it is vital for men and women. It is vital for you that you know who this is, this King, this Redeemer, this Savior. Who is this? This is a matter that is vital to your soul, that you know who this King of Glory is. And so tonight we want to look at that inquiry again. This great question asked of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is this? And tonight I want you to look at the cause of the question. I want you to think about what moved the people here to ask this question. Who is this? And as we look at the situation, it's fairly obvious here that what moved the people to ask the question is the excitement in the streets. The Bible says that when he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved. So this was a great event. This was a dramatic event. You can think of the Lord Jesus being greeted as a king as he enters into the streets of Jerusalem. And there's a mighty commotion that is going on as people are running, bringing palm branches. There's this great shout of Hosanna. And as he's passing by, there are many who ask, who is this? Now, it wasn't as if the Lord Jesus was unknown in Jerusalem. Otherwise, they wouldn't have greeted him the way that he did, or the way that they did. But nevertheless, there were those there who seemed to have been unacquainted with the Lord Jesus, who didn't seem to know what was going on, or maybe couldn't see what was taking place. And in the midst of the crowd, and in the midst of the commotion, and you can imagine this great train going past of people, and a real buzz in the city, and people are beginning to ask and talk to one another, and as they meet one another in the street, they begin to cry, who is this? And there are a number of reasons, I believe, why they were asking that question, who is this? And the first reason is because of the proclamation about Christ. Because they were crying that this was the king. They were greeting him as the king. They were greeting him as the king come into their midst. Hosanna to the son of David, one of the royal line. And we think of the words of the prophet, behold thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass. So here he was being greeted as the king, the Messiah, come to deliver them. And you think of that great truth here. He wasn't proclaimed, of course, by the Sanhedrin. He wasn't proclaimed by the Roman authorities. He wasn't proclaimed king by the Senate in Rome. But he was being proclaimed by the ordinary people. And it doesn't really matter who was proclaiming him king. When the Lord Jesus Christ is proclaimed king, in any place or in any crowd of people, or in any situation where the Lord Jesus Christ is being owned as king, there will be a commotion. There will be a division. There will be a commotion that surrounds that proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ as king. And as a preacher of Christ, as an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, I proclaim him king. Is he your king tonight? There was a young fellow one time, he was listening to a pop station, a radio station, and they were having a prize, a competition, in which they were giving away some tickets to a concert that he wanted to go to. And they'd asked the question, who is the king? And if you answered this question and got the prize, you would be able to go along to this rock concert or pop concert that he wanted to go to. And the young fellow didn't know who the king was, and so he turned to his father and he said, who is the king? And the father hadn't been listening to what was going on the radio. And he said, well, the Lord Jesus Christ is my king. Who's your king? And that's a question that you need to face tonight. Is some rock star your king? Is some person in this world your king? Oh, the world today has despised the Lord Jesus. They've turned away from the Lord Jesus. They have thwarted his laws. They're bringing in gambling. They're bringing in abortion. They're bringing in the lottery. They're bringing in all sorts of greed into our society today. And this is a society that's turned away from God. And dear friend, you've turned away from God. There's none righteous, the Bible says. No, not one. But the Bible proclaims the Lordship of Christ. He is proclaimed king. Behold your king tonight. And I say to whatever the Lord Jesus Christ is proclaimed king, there will be a commotion. The old devil will get up and the devil will stir up strife. And there are those who are preaching Christ in different parts of the world in fear of their lives because of the commotion that arises when the Lord Jesus Christ is proclaimed King. So they asked, who is this? Because of the proclamation about Christ. And they also asked, who is this? Because of the presence of Christ. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ was there. The Lord Jesus there was sitting upon the colt of an ass, and he was riding through the streets in his lowly pomp, and he was there. He was passing by. And as he was going through the streets, again there's a stir. And not only is there a stir when the Lord Jesus Christ is proclaimed King, but there will certainly be a stir when the Lord Jesus Christ is present. And he's here tonight. Because he has said in his word that where two or three are met together in his name, there he is in the midst. In the Peninsular War against Napoleon, when Wellington was fighting, there was a battle and the troops were all lined up and they'd become weary because of the battle and they were very likely to give way. And the Duke of Wellington rode up to the front of his troops and the cry went up, "Here is the Duke." And they were glad to see his face. And as they saw the face of their general, the one that they looked to, the one who brought so many victories to them, the morale of the troops was brought up again and they began to go forward and they fought until they won the victory. Thank God our King's in the midst. Our King is here. He's here and not to bless us with the Spirit's quickening power. And I am praying, dear sinner, in this meeting, that you begin to see the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that you would see him. He's passing this way. He's passing through tonight. Oh, that you might see him in all his lowly pomp and glory. That you might see him as the sovereign King of heaven. There was a stir. And they were asking the question because the Lord Jesus was present. But not only did they ask the question because of the proclamation about Christ, and because of the presence of Christ, but they asked the question because of the passion that surrounded Christ. You see, the disciples here were all stirred up and they were excited and they were passionate about what was happening that day. They were running with joy. They were running with excitement. They were bringing the palm branches and they were taking their coats and their cloaks and they were putting them in the front of the Lord Jesus Christ. And on this day they were full of joy and full of gladness. And you know, when God's people are full of joy and full of gladness and when we're excited about our salvation, that's something that will attract people. That's something that will cause a stir and people will begin to ask, who is this Savior that those Christians have? Oh, dear sinner, in this meeting, if we haven't been excited enough, if we haven't been zealous enough, we apologize to you. But oh, we say to you tonight, we have a wonderful Savior. I remember going into the home there in Downpatrick with our brother Chris Killen. We were talking to a drug addict. And we were talking to him for a wee while and he said, you know, you boys are on a high. And he meant by that because we were talking about the Savior, we had an excitement. There was something that we wanted to talk about. And oh, that we could always talk about our Savior with that sense of excitement. You see, when there's an excitement, when there is that joy in the heart, when there is that blessed thought that our Savior is with us, and when there's that zeal in our steps and what we do, then that's going to draw people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Know that I might convey to you what my Savior means. He is altogether lovely. This is my beloved. And this is my friend. And when people get excited about the Lord Jesus Christ, people begin to ask, who is this? Who is this? Are you asking that question tonight? There's something else that caused the question. That was the power of Christ. because they saw the miracles. They had seen the halt leaping and the dumb talking and the blind seeing. It was not long before this incident that Lazarus had been raised from the dead. The Lord Jesus had gone to that graveside and cried, "Lazarus, come forth." And the dead had come out of the true tomb. And there's nothing like the fact of souls passing from death to life to cause a stir. When we hear of people getting right with God, other people begin to ask, "Who is this? Who is this that is changing lives? Who is this that has taken the drunkard away from the drink? Who is this that has delivered the drug addict?" And when the Lord Jesus Christ is working in power, people begin to ask the question, "Who is this?" And oh, dear friend, that you might ask the question too. There are people that are waiting on somebody else, waiting for something to happen, waiting for a flash of light. But oh, dear friend, if God has in any ways put it in your heart, the thought of who the Lord Jesus Christ is, oh, seek and find him. Look into his word. Find the one who is able to save your soul. So we notice the cause of the question. But then I want you to see the character of the question. It was a question about the Lord Jesus, first of all. They said, "Who is this?" And of course, any question worth asking about salvation is a question that focuses on the Lord Jesus Christ. David Brainerd, the famous missionary to the American Indians, proclaimed the truth that was at the center of his ministry. And he said, "I never got away from Jesus and him crucified in my preaching. I found that once these people were gripped by the great evangelical meaning of Christ's sacrifice on our behalf, I did not have to give them many instructions about changing their behavior." Charles Spurgeon lay on his deathbed and he said this, "My theology now is found in four little words, Jesus died for me." And he said, "I don't say that this is all I preach if I was raised up again, but it is more than enough for me to die upon. Jesus died for me." And the focus and the character of their question was one that focused upon the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's not just that I'm thinking of as we think about the character of the question. I'm more thinking about in what terms this question was asked. What was behind the thought of this question? And I believe that as people were asking this question, there were those that scoffed. They were saying, "Who is this?" in a sarcastic kind of a tone. They were saying it in mockery. "Who is this? Who is this? Who does he think he is? Who is this one that is riding upon the coat of an ass? Who is this that has been greeted as King of the Jews? Here he is in the garments of a Galilean peasant. Who does he think he is?" And they just turned away. And we have seen that, have we not? Have we not seen people ask the question, "Who is this?" in scoffing and in mockery. And laugh at the preaching and laugh at the gospel. And have no time and talk about the Lord Jesus in a tone of scoffing and mockery. Is that you tonight? There were those, I believe, that asked the question in the tone of scoffing. And then there were those that probably asked the question superficially. They maybe asked the question in an offhand kind of manner. They saw the crowd. They saw what was going on. And as they passed by somebody else, they said, "Who is this?" And maybe didn't even wait for the answer. They were too busy with other things. They had no time to wait, no time to tarry, no real interest in who it was that was going through the streets of Jerusalem that day. It was just a passing question. Their thoughts were upon other things. Maybe the Savior tonight has to speak to you. You come with a passing interest. The Savior has to say to you, "Is it nothing to you all ye that pass by? Behold and see. If there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. Dear friend, is there indifference in your heart? Oh, you've asked the question, but you've never really taken time to listen to the answer. Maybe in a meeting such as this, the thought has crossed your mind about God's salvation, but it's only been a fleeting thought. You've never investigated. You've never taken time to think about God's salvation and what it really is and how you need a Savior and how you need to be saved. And it's just been a passing thought, a passing interest. And then you've gone out into the night at the end of a meeting, and that's all you've ever thought about it. Oh, there are many superficial people in this day and generation. There were the scoffers. There were the superficial. But then I think there were the seekers. There were those that were genuinely wanting to know who this is. They wanted to know who it was that was being greeted as their king. You know, there are many people who come onto the side of the gospel, and yet they do not fully understand. And maybe you're here tonight and there are many questions. Questions that you genuinely have about how to be saved or what it means to be saved or how Christ died or why he died or what he did when he died. And there are questions that are still in your heart and questions that are still in your mind. And you know there are many questions, and even though people sit in gospel meetings, there are things that are still not straight in their mind. And maybe you're a seeker tonight and you're saying, who is this? Who is this Savior? What does his salvation mean? Well, I say to you tonight, if you have a question, then come and speak to us. If you have a question, speak to somebody that you know. And if you desire to know who the Lord Jesus is, if you do not desire to know what his salvation means, if you have questions that are in your heart, get them settled. My, how healthy it is to ask the questions. Who is this? Tell me where I can find him. Tell me what I can do to get my eyes opened. Tell me what I can do to get my spiritual health and strength restored. Who is this? This mighty one. And I've got to tell you tonight, he's the one who said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He's the only Savior. Who is this? He's the Savior of men. And I want you to see the character of the question. There are the scoffers. There are the superficial. There are the seekers. Which one are you? Are you ready to come? Are you ready to ask the question? Are you ready to face the reality of your soul's eternal welfare? Oh, men and women, that you might seek him. Seek him with all your heart. Call upon him. But there's one more thing I want you to see about this question. Look at the consequence of the question. And I would say that there were those that heard the question, or asked the question rather, and heard the answer and followed him. There were those that joined in with the singing of Hosanna. There were those that would have taken the palm branches or their garments and put them in the way of the Lord Jesus and cried out, Hosanna, save now! Save now. Now what you need to cry tonight, save now. You see, salvation is only for now. You've got to cry, save now. But then there were others. And we read about them in verses 15 and 16. It says, and when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. They were sore displeased and said unto him, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto them, Yea, have ye never read out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise? And they said, Look at this pack. They're a pack of children. What are they saying? What are they saying? They're saying, Hosanna. And it offended their sensibilities of the scribes and the Pharisees. And these men didn't approve. And the priests didn't approve of the stir. They didn't approve of what was being said. And they were infuriated. Indeed, that word there that says they were sore displeased actually means that they were incensed. It means that they were beside themselves with rage. Oh, how they hated the Lord. They hated one who would come and tread upon their formal religion. They hated one who would come and point up the deadness and formality of the way that they were going. And here was the Lord Jesus Christ. And the consequences of this question, who is this, was that it caused division. There were those that heard and followed the Lord Jesus, and there were those that heard and rejected him. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ causes a division. There's one division that really matters. And that's the division between those that are saved and those that are lost. In Matthew 24, the Lord gives a vision of the end time. And the Lord will come with power and great glory. And it says, then shall two be in the field. The one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinded at the mill. The one shall be taken and the other left. One will be saved. The other will be lost. Two people doing the same job. Two people in the same station of life. Two people in the same region. Two people with similar backgrounds. One taken, one saved, the other lost. In Luke 12 and 51, the Lord said, suppose ye that I am come to bring, give peace on earth, I tell you nay, but rather division. He brings peace to those that will receive his peace. But there's a division. A division. There's a division in this meeting. In the midst of this meeting, there are those who are Christ and those who are on the road to a Christless and undone eternity. The question is, which are you? Which are you? You see, the fact is that we need to remind you is that within days of this crowd here in Jerusalem crying out, Hosanna, there were those who were in that crowd. And a few days later, they're in another crowd. And they're crying something very different. They're crying, crucify him. Now, I've no doubt that there were those that were in both crowds saying some very different things. And you say, what's the difference? Why is it that this one time they're crying Hosanna, and the next time they're crying crucify him? Well, I think the common denominator is the answer, the crowd. You see, we are people who are social creatures. We're carried along by the crowd. You see, girls out on the freezing cold in outfits that hardly cover them, in heels that they can't walk in, and they do it because of the crowd, because it's the fashion. We're creatures of the crowd. But don't listen to the words, crowd, dear friend. Don't listen to the words, crowd. You come to the Savior, no matter what the world may say. You see, the tragedy that there is that there were those who were in the presence of Christ that day, and they ended up calling out for his crucifixion. There were those that, as it were, could reach out and touch the Lord as he passed by. There they were, and they actually saw the presence of the Lord Jesus. They saw him being greeted as King. And just 2 days later, they're crying out for his crucifixion. And if you reject Christ, keep on rejecting him, you will do the same. You know what is said of metal? If you heat it up a number of times, it becomes harder to heat it up. It doesn't take the heat the same after it has been heated a number of times. And it's the same with you. You sat under the gospel, and you've heard the gospel God has spoken. But maybe he's not speaking so clearly anymore. Maybe he's not dealing with you so readily anymore. You see, you need to be saved now. Saved now. Hosanna. Make that your cry tonight. Make that your declaration. Saved now. Because if you reject him, you can find yourself in that crowd that cries, crucify him. If you don't take him now, you can get so very worse. So very much worse. And you can go down right into the depths. But dear friend, here is your opportunity. You can cry to God, save now. Will you cry, not cry? Will you call upon my Savior? Who is this? He is the Savior of mankind. Who is this? The one who is able to save. Who is this? He's the King of Kings. Come to his feet and do him homage tonight and crown him Lord of all. May God write his word upon our hearts for his name's sake. Let's just bow, please, in a word of prayer.